So, thanks, Yan, for introduction, and also I'm happy to come back to PI after several years. So last time I came here, there was no bistro yet, and I think I'm among the few people who visited PI before even the building was built. So PI was borrowing some small former restaurant or something with clock tower. Which is nearby. Anyway, I'm happy to see more condensed matter or related condensed matter people or people in related fields now at PI. So today I'd like to discuss this orbital angular momentum in chiral superfluids. And first, I'd like to start with thanking my collaborators, Yasuhiro Tada and Wenxin Nie. And the paper is now published in PRL, so if you are interested in more detail, you can look up the paper. And I'd like to thank Yoshimaino for introducing me to this problem. Okay, so perhaps many of you know what chiral superfluid means, but let me quickly review the basics. So, here, I want to discuss superfluid made of fermions, not bosons. So fermions do not become superfluid by itself, but they can form Cooper pair. Then Cooper pair, roughly speaking, can condense. Then they can become superfluid. And in simplest case, this Cooper pair has zero total angular momentum, orbital angular momentum. But you can consider the Cooper pairing with some non-zero angular momentum. And if all the Cooper pairs have the angular momentum in the same direction, then the superfluid as a whole also breaks the time reversal symmetry and also rotation symmetry. And by chiral superfluid, I mean such a superfluid with Cooper pairs with some definite angular momentum. And let nu be the angular momentum of each Cooper pair. So it can be one or two or three. Mathematically, this situation can be described by pairing amplitude, which depends on the direction of, let's say, momentum. So the pairing amplitude can be written like this, px plus ipy to the power of nu. And in fact, at least there is one established example of chiral superfluid that is so-called A phase of superfluid helium 3. So helium 3 is Fermi particle, but then they can form a Cooper pair at very low temperature around millikelvin temperature. And there are two phases, A and B, but this A phase is known to be this chiral superfluid with nu equals one, that is so-called chiral P wave superfluid. And another candidate for chiral superfluid, or in this case, I should rather say superconductor, is strontium ruthenate. So this strontium ruthenate is quasi-two-dimensional material, and in each two-dimensional plane, there are, I don't have enough time to discuss details, but there are several evidences pointing to the possibility of chiral P wave pairing, like in helium 3. But maybe still there is some controversy, so maybe the situation is not completely settled for strontium ruthenate, but that's biggest evidence against P plus
And
IP.
I mean, maybe it's just like a strong question.
Yeah, so I think as far as I know, that problem is not settled yet. But I actually there is some proposal about this question related to our theory, which I'm going to discuss later. Yeah. So this is pretty much established. This is still maybe controversial, but candidate. Okay, so it's this chiral superfluid is at least I would say not completely fiction by theoretical physicists, but some reality, and there are other candidates for chiral superfluid as well. But today this is also related potentially to several experiments, but in this talk I focus on very simple question, theoretical question. That is, what is the total angular momentum or total orbital angular momentum of the superfluid? And let's say a superfluid is made of n fermions. Then you might think the answer is obvious because I just explained that each copper pair is supposed to have angular momentum mu. And if you have n fermions, then the number of copper pairs should be n half. So the total angular momentum, orbital angular momentum should be nu times n half. So should be easy. But it's not actually completely trivial because there is another way of thinking. That is, you start from the limit of normal fermi liquid without any Cooper pair. Then if you have just a normal fermi liquid in the ground state, of course, total angular momentum is zero. Then suppose you introduce pairing interaction. Then after introducing pairing interaction, then the system goes into the superfluid. But usually, at least in so-called BCS regime, the pairing energy scale, this delta is gap energy or energy scale for pairing, is much smaller than the Fermi energy. So if you start from the normal Fermi liquid and then introduce this pairing interaction, then because this is very small, you can think like only those fermions, those low energy fermions near the Fermi surface are affected by pairing. And those fermions deep inside the Fermi sea are basically not affected by this pairing interaction. And if you think in this way, then the total angular momentum shouldn't be just nu times n half, as I just argued, but this should be suppressed by some factor of delta over EF. Or some people say it should be rather like delta over EF squared or something. But anyway, there are some papers which claim that the total angular momentum should be suppressed by some powers of delta over EF. And in many systems, delta over EF is very small, like 1% or 0.1% or something. So this is very substantial reduction. So this, sounds like reasonable, at least to some extent. So there are two answers given to the one question, but if you are given some chiral superfluid with definite Hamiltonian, then in principle the answer should be unique. So the question is to resolve this apparently contradicting two different answers. Okay, so that's a question, but before going into more details of the question, I need to explain two different limits. That is so-called Bose-Einstein condensate limit and BCS, Bardeen-Cooper-Schlieffer limit. So one way to understand the superfluid of fermions is that simply that the fermions form Cooper pair, then Cooper pair behaves like bosons. So bosons can both condense, can undergo Bose Einstein condensation. But actually that picture is valid only in the regime of so-called strong pairing. That is, if the pairing is very strong in real space, then you can think of bosonic molecules. The size of the molecule is sufficiently small compared to the average distance between molecules. Then in this case, the superfluid is just like a superfluid of bosons. So these bosonic molecules just undergo the Bose-Einstein condensation. But we are familiar with BCS theory of superconductivity or superfluidity. And actually, when BCS theory is valid, the picture is rather different from this Bose-Einstein condensation of bosonic molecules. But in real space, when BCS theory is valid, actually the pairing occurs between fermions on the opposite side of Fermi surface. So in real space, the pairing is rather weak in the sense that the distance between two fermions forming Cooper pair is not small compared to the average interparticle distance. So if you draw the picture, when BCS theory is valid, the picture is a bit more complicated. So both are superfluids, but at least quantitatively, they give rather different behavior. So this limit is often called BC limit, and this limit is often called BCS limit. And if you change the strength of interaction, you can observe crossover between these two. And the question of angular momentum, total angular momentum, is probably clear in this BC limit, because in this limit, each molecule has angular momentum nu. And then they undergo both Einstein condensation. So in this limit, the answer should be this nu n half without any reduction, at least in this limit. But it's less clear in this limit. And in fact, exactly in this limit, this factor delta over EF is small. So the main question is what happens in this limit? And I mentioned this BC, BCS crossover. And actually, nowadays, you can observe this crossover in experiments using quad atoms, because you can tune the strength of interaction using so-called Feshbach resonance. So you can tune the scattering length, that is strength of interaction, roughly speaking. Then you can measure the energy as a function of the scattering length, and you can compare theory and experiment quantitatively. So this paper is already almost 10 years ago. So you can observe crossover in experiment. But I have to say that this paper is on S-wave pairing. So this is not chiral superfluid, but with zero angular momentum. And actually this BCS versus BC limit, this question is more interesting in case of chiral superfluid. Actually, this is a similar paper on theory of chiral superfluid and also fractional quantum Hall effect, this Reed-Green paper back in 2000. And they actually pointed out that this chiral, in case of chiral superfluid, the BC limit and BCS limit are not only different in quantitative sense, but that they belong to really different phases. And in fact, this BC limit corresponds to so-called strong pairing phase, which is non-topological superfluid. This is just like a superfluid made out of bosons. But BCS limit belongs to weak pairing phase, which is actually topological superfluid phase. And one characteristic signature of topological feature of this weak pairing phase is that only in this phase you have edge state, edge current, but not in this strong pairing phase. So in case of chiral superfluids, they belong to different phases. So the total angular momentum can be also very different between these two limits. And I will discuss more detail on this, but here I want to emphasize that the angular momentum can be different between these two phases. Okay. So that is a question. So the main question is that what is the total angular moment, orbital angular momentum of the chiral superfluid in weak pairing or topological superfluid phase, which includes a BCS limit. Actually, this is an old question, and which is almost 40 years old, and there have been many papers published on this question. So this is not an exhaustive list of anything, but just a sample of papers published on this question. And I listed many papers with using based on various different assumptions or approximations, mostly theory. So here I wrote gamma equals zero and gamma equals one and gamma equals two. So this gamma is the power of delta over EF. So gamma equals zero means that these papers claim no suppression of total angular momentum. It's just nu n half. This gamma equals one and gamma equals two means that these papers claim suppression of total orbital angular momentum by factor of delta over EF or its squared. So there are contradicting results proposed, but if you look at the so these numbers 96, 98, and so on years published. And if you look at this publication year, then roughly speaking, there are more papers claiming suppression in earlier times, but more recent papers tend to claim no suppression. So if you plot the value of angular momentum as a function of publication year, then it seems to converge to no suppression. But of course, that doesn't prove something. And Yeah, for example, why they give different answer and how general. So most of the papers are based on some approximation or assumption and how they can be justified and so on. Yeah. And so this is excerpt from a well-known textbook by Tony Leggett, Quantum Leakage, which is also almost 10 years old, but he didn't discuss so much detail on this question in this textbook, but he did mention about this. So he says the question of what is the true expectation value of the angular momentum of superfluid helium 3A in a given container geometry is one which is more than 30 years old at the time of 2005 or 6. So now 40 years old, and still has apparently not attained a universally agreed resolution, that what he said at that time. And I think basically remains true even now or until very recently. Okay. So you might wonder why, you know, that sounds like a very fundamental question, simple question. So why it is so difficult? I can give you some reasons why this is perhaps more difficult than it might appear. So, of course, we are interested in infinite systems, thermodynamic limit, or sufficiently large system, macroscopic system. But you cannot directly study infinite system because in infinite system, the number of particles is infinite and the angular momentum is probably infinite. So it's a comparison between two infinities. So it's not well defined. So usually what we do is to define the system on finite size system, and then compare the number of particles and angular momentum. Then after taking the ratio, you take the thermodynamic limit. That's a standard procedure. But usually, you want to define the system on torus or with periodic boundary condition because it's easier to handle. But once you consider torus or rectangle with periodic boundary condition, then the system is not rotation invariant. So the angular momentum is not well defined. So this is at least very tricky. So the, in order to define the problem, in order to make the problem completely well defined, you need to study finite size system, which is rotational invariant. So you need to consider something like this disk or circular well potential. Then the number of particles and the angular momentum are both finite, and the angular momentum should be conserved. But then you have edge. So the system is not uniform. And as I said, in chiral superfluid, in weak pairing phase, that our main focus has some edge state. So there is edge current. So you need to include the effect of this edge current. And actually, as I will discuss later, you can regard this angular momentum is basically carried by this edge current. So yeah, so you are somehow forced to study this edge current to study this problem. Okay, so now I want to explain what we have done. So we want to clarify this problem in simplest ideal setting. So in DRO experiment, maybe the container is not perfectly circular, or if you want to study strontium ruthenate, then it has lattice and impurities and so on. But first, we want to clarify the problem in very ideal situation, that is chiral superfluid in completely circular well. And of course, in principle, we need to solve a problem of interacting particles, but that's too hard. So we use this Bogoliubov type approximation, sort of mean field approximation, where the pairing interaction is replaced by this anomalous pairing term, side-agar, side-agar, and side-side. And I include this chiral angular dependence in the pairing term. So this is a well-defined Hamiltonian, although this is in principle derived after doing some mean field decoupling of the interaction term. But then we want to answer what is the total orbital angular momentum in the ground state of this volume of Hamiltonian. That's at least mathematically well defined problem. And hopefully this also gives some insight into more general problem. Okay, so so this is a Hamiltonian. But then one important observation is that although we study chiral superfluid in circular well or disk, which should conserve angular momentum, but once you consider this Bogoliubov type Hamiltonian, this anomalous pairing term actually does not conserve the total orbital angular momentum, because this creates a Cooper pair, and this annihilates Cooper pair, and the Cooper pair carries some angular momentum. So these terms actually violates the conservation of orbital angular momentum. But Borovic pointed out back in 95 or something that still you can find a conserved quantum number, which he called Q, which is defined as total orbital angular momentum L minus N half. Okay, so here, let us discuss the PVF case first, where nu equals 1. Okay. So this is conserved. It is easy to see, because this anomalous term creates or annihilates a Cooper pair with angular momentum 1. So when you create Cooper pair, you increase L by 1 and increase N by 2. So this is conserved. And same for anomalous term which annihilates Cooper pair. So this Q commutes with the volume of Hamiltonian. So this is, of course, correct. So this is simple, but I think still very important observation. But then in his old paper, he proceeded in a way I didn't quite understand. That is, he somehow argued that this Q must be zero in the ground state. If this is the case, then from definition of this Q, the L must be equal to n half, at least as expectation value. So this means that there is no reduction of angular momentum. It's given by as if there is no reduction. Okay, so from once you assume this, then of course this follows. But yeah.
But isn't physically isn't this expression, you know, essentially from the fact that, n, the number of Cooper pairs, is like, you know, not the same as the number of fermions. So like, would that be captured by this?
Well, yeah, so my question is that, so it's at least not obvious whether Q equals zero in the ground state, yeah. So I will discuss more detail about this. But in old paper by Borovik, he claims something like this, which I didn't quite understand the logic. So my point is that we really need to study what is the value of Q in the ground state.
Does showing Q is equal to zero, does that imply that gamma is equal to zero?
Right, yeah, from here to there, it's kind of trivial, or, you know, by definition.
But here, n is the number of Cooper pairs, whereas before, n was the number of...
Oh, this is still number of fermions, so n half is a number, yeah.
Oh, but here, okay.
Yeah. And one, you know, simple counterexample for the statement that the Q must be always zero in the ground state is that if you consider normal limit, if you send this pairing amplitude delta to zero, then you must reach normal family kit, where obviously L is zero and N is non-zero. So at least in this limit, Q should be different from zero. So maybe in some ground state, Q equals zero. Actually, that is the case, as I will show you later. But at least I have to say that whether Q is zero in the ground state or not is a non-trivial question we have to clarify. But still, this existence of quantum number is very useful in many ways, as I hope hopefully I will convince you. And one advantage of using this conserved number Q is that this actually helps numerical calculation because this is very stable. So even if you have some errors in numerical calculation, this Q is very stable. So it's useful to look at this quantum number Q. Actually, that's what we did. And so there is also preceding work which is closely related to ours back in 2008 by Michael Stone and Andorra. So they studied similar problem, but chiral superfluid confined in two-dimensional harmonic potential, which is maybe more realistic for some cold atom system. But the reason why they studied two-dimensional harmonic potential is that mathematically, the Bogliolo Hamiltonian can be easily transformed to three diagonal form for this harmonic potential. So numerically, it is easy to diagonalize. So they study this. So they have Bogliolo Hamiltonian, so which is quadratic, so you can solve numerically. And then as for fixed harmonic well and a fixed number of particle or chemical potential, they solved this Bogliolo Hamiltonian and studied this angular momentum per number of particle as a function of this pairing amplitude delta. Then, as I said, in the limit of delta goes to zero, of course, L must be zero. But as you increase delta, this angular momentum per particle quickly increases and quickly converges to one half. And 0.5 or one half is exactly what do you expect from this no suppression picture? So some of they found that for sufficiently large delta pairing amplitude, somehow the answer seems to be no suppression. And if you take this delta over EF suppression picture, because delta is still around 0.1 or 0.5, yeah, this is in the unit of EF basically. So here you should expect still some substantial suppression, but the result seems to be very close to or 1/2. So they observed this numerically, but they didn't quite find the reason why this must be the case. So in their paper, they said there is no simple identity line behind this fact. And mathematically, it looks like some result of some miraculous cancellation or something. Okay. So what we, but in this paper, their paper, they somehow didn't study this conserved quantum number Q. So we did similar thing to their paper that is explicitly diagonalized this Bogoliubov Hamiltonian in circular well, not harmonic well, but two-dimensional circular well with hard wall. But then first try to solve this Bogoliubov Hamiltonian exactly, at least in the numerical sense. And if you take the basis of single particle state as eigenstate of angular momentum, then you can label each single particle state by angular momentum L and also another label which corresponds to radial excitation. I call it mu or mu prime or something. Then you can partially diagonalize this volume of Hamiltonian using this angular momentum basis, because a pairing, the Cooper pair must have angular momentum 1 for P wave pairing. So pairing only occurs between angular momentum L plus 1 and minus L. And then you need to sum over angular momentum L and also the other radial quantum number mu. But you can write down Bogoliubov Hamiltonian in this way. And these parameters can be determined from the original Hamiltonian. Then you can diagonalize this Bogoliubov Hamiltonian. Then, so the value of Q, this conserved number in the ground state, can be calculated. And as I said, this is quantum number. So actually the result is given in a simple form that only depends on the signature of the eigenvalues of this BDG Hamiltonian, each block of BDG Hamiltonian. So this is kind of nice result because it explicitly shows that this Q is stable. So even if you change some parameter in the Hamiltonian, this Q doesn't change in the ground state because it depends only on the signature of E, energy eigenvalue of BDG Hamiltonian. So it doesn't change unless one of the eigenvalues of this BDG Hamiltonian crosses zero. If one of the eigenvalues changes sign, then Q is changed by some amount. So this shows the stability of this quantum number explicitly and also helpful for numerical calculation. Okay, so this is what we did first. And then here I'm showing the result we obtained numerically. So this is P plus IP chiral superfluid in circular well. And this is just an energy diagram as a function of angular momentum. So you have continuum in negative energy region, which corresponds to whole excitation, and continuum of spectrum in the positive energy. And you have a gap, and this gap is exactly what is caused by this pairing. So you find a pairing gap, which is given by delta. But then you find also some gapless states, which looks like a linear as a function of angular momentum, which connects this positive energy region and negative energy region. And this is actually nothing but the H state. So we didn't treat H in any particular way, but if you solve this Bogoliubov Hamiltonian of chiral superfluid in circular wave, then you automatically find H state, which appears this way. So this is a spectrum. And then given the spectrum and also eigenfunction, you can compute the quantum number Q and then also angular momentum L and so on, so on. Okay, so this is a similar plot to the previous paper. So this is total orbital angular momentum per number of particle plotted as a function of pairing energy delta over EF. So I find a similar result to Stone's paper. That is, in the limit of delta goes to zero, of course, I should have normal Fermi leakage. So angular momentum should be zero. But as you increase this pairing energy delta, this angular momentum increases and eventually converges to 1/2, where there is no suppression and you recover full amount of orbital angular momentum. But here I have several different colors of points, which corresponds to different system sizes, actually. So these parameters corresponds to the radius of my circular wave for the same chemical potential and so on. So for the smallest size, I find this like step-like behavior. So initially it's completely zero, and then angular momentum increases in step-like manner and eventually reaches 1/2. But if you increase the system size, the radius 30, 40, 50, 60, and so on, then this increase becomes sharper and sharper. Okay. So it looks like as you go to larger and larger system size, the upturn of angular momentum near delta equals zero becomes more sharper and sharper. And in fact, we can quantify this effect by identifying the sort of critical pairing energy delta. That is, I can define critical value of pairing energy by above delta C, critical value, the angular momentum is completely given by n-half for each system size. So for given system size, for example, for R equals to 20, the critical value of delta is here, because above this value, you completely recover L equals to n-half. But for example, for R equals to 50, the critical value is somewhere around here, because the angular momentum increases up to this point, then saturates. So you can define this critical value for each system size. And if you plot the system size as a function of inverse, if you plot the critical pairing energy as a function of inverse system size, it behaves like linear function. So if you extrapolate this critical value to infinite system, R goes to zero, R goes to infinity means R inverse goes to zero, then this critical value seems to go to zero, which means that for very large system, of course, for delta exactly to zero, angular momentum should be zero. But for very large system, once you introduce infinitesimal delta, then you should recover full value of angular momentum that is given by n half. Yes.
Is this behavior
is
the same in the strong and the weak
pairing
cases?
No. Going to show later, but in strong pairing phase, L is zero. Yeah. Weak pairing phase. Yeah. Because, you know, in strong pairing phase, actually, you don't find this edge state. Yeah. Okay. But so far, there is no explanation why this must be the case. But if you take Boolean Hamiltonian and solve this Boolean Hamiltonian in circular well without any further approximation, you obtain this. And the results seem to indicate that in the Samurai limit for whatever value of non-zero pairing energy, the angular momentum seems to take the full value without any suppression. Okay. Then now, I want to give you some explanation why this must be the case. So, as I said, we can consider BC limit and BCS limit, and the crossover, or actually in this case, phase transition between these two limits can be driven by tuning chemical potential. So if you consider the limit of chemical potential going to negative infinity, then actually you find vacuum, no particle, and then energy spectrum should be something like this, very simple without any edge state. But the important point is that in the limit of mu goes to negative infinity, L equals zero and N equals zero, which is obvious. But then important point is that this quantum number Q, which is defined as L minus N half, must be zero in this negative infinity limit. And now you increase chemical potential from negative infinity, then you induce some number of particles, some density of particle, then you might induce some angular momentum as well. But the point is that in this Boolean Hamiltonian, the Q is conserved quantity. So you started from the limit, trivial limit where Q equals zero. So even if you increase mu, the value of Q doesn't change. So Q should remain zero. So that means that in BEC regime or this strong, throughout this strong pairing phase, the Q must remain zero. Then in this strong pairing phase, L must be given by exactly by N half. So there shouldn't be suppression. So it should always take full value, at least until this phase transition point. At quantum phase transition, you have gap closing. So beyond this point, the value of Q might change, at least in general context. But up to this gap closing point, throughout the strong pairing phase, Q must be zero, so L must be exactly N half. So this is what I argued earlier based on some physical expectations. But at least within this Boolean Hamiltonian, this statement is exact. So this is kind of mathematical proof that L must be exactly N half, at least within this strong pairing phase. But as I said, the main question is what happens in this weak pairing topological phase. And I just said that you have gap closing here. So the Q is given by some summation over signature of this energy eigenvalue of BDG Hamiltonian. So you might think, okay, Q should change at this gap closing point. So Q should be different from zero here. Then you might expect reduction. But actually, it's not the case. And it turns out that Q still remains zero, even in this weak pairing phase, which might sound strange. But this is because I said here you have a gap closing, but actually gap closes only in the Samurai limit, system size going to infinity. So if you study finite size system, however the system size is big, actually if you trace each eigenvalues, actually there is no gap closing, even at this phase transition point. So if you track the motion of each eigenvalues, actually, no, there is no crossing of zero energy. So, for example, these are edge states, but these edge states can be traced back to eigenvalues in this spectrum. And if you trace the motion of each eigenvalues, then these edge states came off from the upper band. And this edge state in the negative energy region actually came off from the lower band. So there is no single energy level which crosses zero energy if you study finite size system. then Q is conserved actually for any large finite size system. So there is no change in Q. So, and because Q equals zero also in this limit, there is no reduction in the angular momentum, at least in the sufficiently large system. So that's kind of mechanism behind this non-suppression of the angular momentum. Okay. So that is our answer for P plus IP. Then, I also have to say that there has been many, many papers published on this question, but most of them are focused on P plus IP case, because probably it's most physical because of this Helium 3 A phase. But theoretically, we can ask same question for higher order chiral superbraid, D plus ID, and so on. My collaborator, Tada-san, proposed studying this problem, but my reaction was, why should we do this? It should be the same. But anyway, they ignored my advice and they went on to calculating similar thing for D plus ID. And this is a result. So this is a similar plot. So the difference is just here they studied D plus ID. And horizontal axis, this vertical axis is angular momentum particle number. And the horizontal axis is again pairing energy divided by EF. And now they don't increase very sharply, as in the case of P plus IP, but increases very slowly. And also, even if you change the system size, there is not much change. So the situation seems very different. And also, I have to say that this is just 15% of the 0.15 angular momentum per particle. So if you adopt this non-suppression picture, then this should go to 2, because now, so this should go to 1, because now nu equals to 2, and divide by 2. So naively, I would expect larger value of angular momentum compared to P plus IP, but actually, for similar parameters, it's smaller. I'm going to argue that actually, in this D plus ID case, the angular momentum is strongly suppressed, unlike the case of P plus IP. So that's kind of counterintuitive, because D plus ID chiral superfluid should have larger angular momentum per Cooper pair, but somehow total angular momentum is smaller than P plus IP. And the difference is actually related to the different structure of edge state. So this is the same plot as I have shown you before. This is just an energy diagram as a function of angular momentum for P plus IP, and you find edge state. And the D plus ID case, this is also topological superfluid with edge state in the weak pairing phase. But in case of D plus ID, you have two edge states. And this spectrum must have particle symmetry, but if you do particle hole transformation, this edge state is mapped to this edge state. And in case of P plus IP, this edge state is kind of self-dual to itself. And so as a result, in this D plus ID case, there's a crossing of edge state of zero energy at non-zero angular momentum. And that actually turns out to be important. And so this different structure of edge state is directly linked to the this conserved quantity Q. And if you study, so this Q is given by summation over some contribution eta L from each angular momentum channel. And as I said, in P plus IP case, even though you have edge state, actually this eta L is zero everywhere, even in weak pairing phase. So the total quantum number Q is also zero, even in the weak pairing phase. But if you study the same quantity for D plus ID case, then actually you find some non-zero contribution eta L to this conserved quantity Q. Actually, exactly in the region sandwiched by these two edge states. So because you have some non-zero contribution to Q, the total Q is different from zero, then you can have suppression. If Q remains zero, then there shouldn't be any suppression. But in D plus ID case, you do have some suppression. And this can be also be understood in terms of a spectral flow. So again, I start from BC limit, chemical potential mu going to minus infinity, that's trivial limit, where we surely know that the Q must be zero, exactly zero. Then you increase chemical potential, then number of particles, angular momentum changes, but the Q is preserved. So within strong pairing phase, Q must be zero. So there is no suppression of angular momentum. That's same as in the case of P plus IB. But then you hit this quantum phase transition. Then beyond this quantum phase transition, you have two edge modes in case of D plus ID. And in this case, actually spectral flow is different. So you have two branches of edge mode, and you have negative energy eigenvalues in the left hand side, and also positive energy eigenstates of this second edge mode. And this negative energy states of the first edge mode actually came off from the upper band, if you trace motion of each energy, each eigenstate, eigenvalues. And these positive energy eigenvalues of the right edge mode actually came off from the lower band. So some of the eigenvalues do cross the zero energy. And when one of the eigenvalues cross zero, then you have changing Q. So if you track the motion of all the eigenvalues, you do find some non-zero contribution to this quantum number Q. So that's how this change of Q occurs. And once the conserved quantity quantum number Q changes from zero, then you can have suppression of angular momentum. And that's actually what happens here. And moreover, we can evaluate how much this quantum number Q is changed by going from strong pairing phase to weak pairing phase. That is, as I said, the change to the quantum number Q comes from the region sandwiched between two edge modes. So once you know where this edge mode crosses zero energy, then you can estimate, evaluate how much Q has changed by going from strong pairing phase to weak pairing phase. And this actually can be determined at least in quasi-classical limit, because this is energy diagram as a function of angular momentum. But if you consider a very large disk, then this angular momentum of the edge state can be related to the momentum along this one-dimensional edge. Because this momentum is related to angular momentum divided by radius of the disk, because this edge mode is a motion along this edge. So there is a simple relation. And then, so this point is basically determined by Fermi momentum of edge mode along this 1D channel. And there is a way to evaluate this Fermi momentum using some semi-classical calculation. And if you do this evaluation using this BDG Hamiltonian, then I still don't understand why this must be the case physically, but if you do the calculation, then you find the value of Q in the weak pairing phase, and that happens to be minus nu n half. And for nu equals to 2 or greater, and Q was defined like L minus nu n half. So if Q is minus nu n half, that means that L must be zero. So L is actually basically zero in the weak pairing phase, completely suppressed. But this calculation is some quasi-classical evaluation, which is only valid up to order delta over YF. So there may be correction of order of delta over YF, but this calculation tells you that angular momentum, total orbital angular momentum for D plus ID and higher order chiral superfluid must be given by at most order of delta over YF. So this is like a second answer to the second scenario to the original question. But I have to say that so the result very much depends on the nu. So it's very different between nu equals one and other values of nu. So this answer, I think, cannot be understood by simple picture of this, you know, whether the all fermions for Cooper pair or you only have pairing near the Fermi surface. That's too naive to make this distinction between P plus IP and higher order chiral superfluid. Anyway, so that's basically what I wanted to say, but this is kind of anecdote. So we sent our paper to archive in, last year. Yeah, almost 1 year ago. Yeah, just 1 year ago or something. And then, paper appeared on archive on 20th of September 2014. But then, just 2 days later or something, Borovic sent comments on our paper. And, so I was first kind of felt very afraid, because if he was pointing out some error, then we would be in trouble. But actually, he confirmed our result. But the interesting thing is that he sent a comment on 30th of September. That means that within 40 hours after he saw our paper, he sent the comment to archive. That's kind of remarkable. But he has some additional comments, but basically he confirmed our claim. And also, few more days later, there is another paper from Karin's group in McMaster. And they had somewhat different motivation, but they basically studied a similar problem. And basically found the same thing independently. So they were more concerned about edge current for general chiral superfluid. But basically they also found that angular momentum vanishes to order delta over EF for all state with m bigger than one. So this m is our nu. So m equals to m is angular momentum per Cooper pair. So the result sounds very strange, but now confirmed by at least three independent groups. So probably that's true, at least for this ideal situation, completely circular potential. Yeah. So finally, I want to give you some interpretation of that result. So you are familiar with this ground state of Bogoliubov Hamiltonian, which is given in this form. So exponential of C dagger C dagger applied to this vacuum state. This is a standard expression you can find in textbook. But actually, if you just consider this kind of state for any this pairing amplitude, actually you always find Q equals zero, because every time you create Cooper pair, you also increase angular momentum. So if you just use this standard expression, then Q must be zero. So there is no suppression. So why the suppression can happen is that actually that in general, the ground state of the Bogoliubov Hamiltonian has not only this factor, but more generally speaking, can also contain this factor, which corresponds to unpaired fermion. So somehow for larger values of nu, you must have these unpaired fermions, especially near the boundary. So I don't understand physically really why this must be the case for higher orders chiral super fluids, but somehow for higher order chiral super fluid, you are forced to have this unpaired fermions. Okay. So yeah, so this summary. So thanks very much.
There's if you start from like two layers of P plus IP state and then turn on this just tunneling, can I think about this like there's some non-zero angular momentum carried by the just problem?
Okay, yeah, that's maybe interesting, but so this new is the angular momentum per Cooper pair, so I'm not very sure if you can induce higher order pairing by coupling two independent P plus IP.
Because from the structure, this single layer of P plus IP have one single majority mode, and the P plus IP have two. So kind of like a layer them and a couple of them in principle.
In terms of edge mode, it sounds reasonable. I haven't thought about that, but that's maybe one way to understand. Yeah, thanks. If that is the case, it's not immediately obvious how I can read this from your picture, but that's maybe interesting question.
It might be because it's just some current angular moment to reduce this.
When is the BC limit attained when you take mu to minus infinity? That I didn't get.
Sorry. It's maybe not very obvious, but so if you send mu to minus infinity, basically the density goes to zero. Density of fermions goes to zero for the same strength of pairing interaction. So the size of the bosonic molecule is very small compared to interparticle distance, average interparticle distance, basically because this density is very small.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to separate the contribution to the orbit angular momentum from the bulk and the edge mode?
Yeah, actually, I don't have picture here, but we also calculated angular momentum density or something as a function of distance from the center, and they are actually localized near the edge. So, although, how you separate these two is kind of tricky, but in real space, they are concentrated near the edge.
More questions? Well, if you don't have more questions, let's thank Masaki again.